Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. We're going to start today with some kind of shocking numbers that I read this week in the Asbury Park Press. They're about New Jersey, but they have implications for New York as well and many other states too. And with the NFL championship games coming up this weekend and then the Super Bowl, it's a good time to roll these numbers out and discuss what they mean. They're about gambling and problem gambling. Since online sports betting was legalized in New Jersey in 2018, New Jerseyans have bet more than $33 billion. The number of calls to the state's gambling hotline has more than tripled during that time to 27,000 last year. A Rutgers study estimates that about 13% of New Jerseyans meet requirements for having a gambling problem. The article says the Rutgers study finds the rate of problem gambling in New Jersey is about three times the national average. So let's talk about what this means for the state and the country as well, with one of the sources quoted by the Asbury Park Press, Felicia Grondin, executive director of the Council on Compulsive Gambling. And spoiler alert, she blames a lot of the problems on excessive sportsbook advertising. Felicia, thanks for coming on the show. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you so much for having me. We're truly grateful that you're paying attention to this issue, and we're grateful for the opportunity to be with you today.
And listeners, help us report this story. This is not to make a prohibitionist argument, but it is to get some stories out in the open about the side effects of mass market online sports betting and some thoughts about what should be done, maybe as a tweak to the existing law or enforcement of some things that aren't being enforced. So have you or has someone you know developed a gambling problem during this five-year social experiment in New Jersey? Or do you know how to avoid it and have certain practices that you use when you sometimes place bets? 212-433-WNYC. 212-433-9692 or tweet at Brian Lehrer. New York, where this is much newer, may be heading in the same direction with the first year of online sports betting way exceeding expectations about how much people are gambling. So anyone may call, but we have those numbers for New Jersey. So tell us a story and help us report this story or ask a question of Felicia Grondin, executive director of the Council on Compulsive Gambling. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or tweet at Brian Lehrer. Felicia, give everybody a little background. What does your Council on Compulsive Gambling do?
Well, the Council on Compulsive Gambling was established in 1982, and we are a private nonprofit organization, primarily funded by the state of New Jersey. And we provide information and referral services for people that are dealing with a gambling problem, or even if they just want to learn more about it. We have a variety of resources on our website at 800gambler.org to learn about problem gambling. So we provide a lot of information. We go out into the community. We talk about gambling and gambling problem. We talk about responsible gambling practices. And we also refer people to treatment. If they are interested in seeing a counselor, we have a network of treatment providers, as well as referring people to Gamblers Anonymous and Gammonon meetings for families that are dealing with a gambling issue. And also, going back to treatment, when we refer people to treatment, if individuals are unable to pay for treatment or if their insurance doesn't cover it, we do have funding available to help people to get the help that they need. So we're about public awareness, making the public aware of this issue, educating the public, and helping people that are struggling with this addiction.
Do you work in multiple states?
No, our territory is New Jersey. And we were one of the very first councils created in the country, actually.
So how do you see those numbers on problem gambling in New Jersey reflected in human terms? Who's developing these problems and how as they present to your group?
Well, you know, I think that gambling is and problem gambling is affecting everyone from seniors to children, believe it or not, to youth, I should say. It's become more of a problem in recent years, given the access of online gambling, which started in New Jersey back in 2013. And then in 2018, it was increased even further as a result of sportsbook, which was legalized. And it's very accessible at this point in time. People can simply pick up their phones and place a bet and lose tens of thousands of dollars within minutes. So it's very accessible. And then the other part of it, of the increasing gambling problem, is that gambling is much more socially acceptable. You know, years ago when I grew up, you know, gambling was restricted to lotteries, and it was in, you know, in Nevada and in Atlantic City. And now it's everywhere. You can gamble very, very easily from the comfort of your home. And no one really even knows that you're gambling, which makes it very difficult to identify how many people have a gambling problem, because it's been called a hidden addiction. And I can go into that later. I don't want to go on too long. But people don't recognize gambling as an addiction. And it's very difficult it's very difficult to identify specifically the number of people given this hidden addiction.
Right, because I guess if you have a drinking problem, you can't really hide that. If you're walking around drunk a lot of the time, it's obvious to your friends and family members who you're spending a lot of time with. If you're just going on your phone and using one of the sports books a lot and losing a lot of money, unless they're really in your bank account with you, they don't necessarily know, right?
Yes, and a lot of people that have a problem are apprehensive to seek help. Number one, because it is an addiction, yes. Number two, a lot of people are embarrassed that they have this addiction. And this problem doesn't only affect the person, obviously. It affects their families. I mean, you know, kids' college funds are wiped out. People lose homes. It affects entire families. So it's hidden because of the point that you had made, that it's not visible. It doesn't show any physical signs. But it's also less predominant or known about because people are embarrassed to report that, and they're embarrassed to seek help because of the effects that it has on those around them.
I guess the most surprising stat from the Rutgers study, as published in the Asbury Park Press, is that the rate of problem gambling, the rate in New Jersey, is about three times the national average. If online sports betting is now legal in many states, and I don't know the exact number of states, maybe you do, but this is a common thing around the country now. So if this is legal in many states, why would New Jerseyans be expressing problem gambling more than people elsewhere?
I think a couple of reasons. I think that reverting back to it being more socially acceptable, you know, legalized gambling in New Jersey has been around since the late 70s. So it's much more socially acceptable here in the state. On top of that, I think that, we have a variety of gambling opportunities, as you had mentioned, online, sportsbook, brick and mortar casinos. There's a lot of apps. We have a very high concentration of people here in the state of New Jersey. So I think that contributes to the predominance of a gambling problem in the state of New Jersey. I also think that we may be a little bit more focused on the issue, maybe not as focused as I would like for us to be. But I think that given the length of time that legalized gambling has been here in the state of New Jersey, we are more focused on problem gambling than perhaps other states are.
So that is to say there might be more reporting and self-reporting of problem gambling than in other states that are not as mature yet in the market, this market being 5 years old, and I guess also with the history of Atlantic City before that.
Yes, that's absolutely correct. That's my perspective on that. I think it just has a lot to do that it's been around here a bit longer. I guess I'm paying some kudos to our council here in the state of New Jersey. We've been around to spread the word as to the issue of problem gambling and finding resources, whereas a lot of states are new. They're just coming about. So for those reasons, I think that that's the answer to your question. I provide that answer to your question.
As we go here with Felicia Grandin, Executive Director of the Council on Compulsive Gambling, we'll talk about the media aspects, including how gambling is woven into even the play-by-play sometimes of sporting events, and certainly the chatter about sports in the media. And we'll play an example of part of a commercial to exemplify one of the issues here. But first, let's take a phone call or two. John in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you? Good. Let me just take your speaker.
Sure, thank you.
Yes, I mean, I know a great number of gamblers, and I used to actually gamble myself for a living as a poker player, but that is 12 years plus ago. I have a friend in Jersey City, probably bets about 20,000 every weekend on two games. And then another friend who I knew from the poker circuit who lost not only his house, he owned a restaurant, he had to sell the restaurant. He pretty much lost everything because last time I saw him, he was outside a casino sleeping in his car. You know, and I just find that the access from online makes it much easier for people with these addictions to become addicted to the gambling. You bet online. You simply, you know, get on your phone and tap in a bet. There's another person that I knew who would literally bet each quarter of a game. He would bet over-unders. He would bet any possibility. And while he, you know, he was a Wall Street hedge funder, he probably went through the same 20,000 plus every weekend, sometimes up, sometimes down. But they are truly addicted, just like it would be to alcohol, to drugs, or whatever. And so that the fact that people are allowed to advertise and promote it without any recourse is dangerous. Do I have an answer? I absolutely don't. Do I, you know, think it's wrong? I do. And I just don't have an answer. I simply wanted to let you know that, you know, these people do exist. As the woman was explaining, that people have lost their homes, they've lost their bank accounts. She's not kidding. I mean, these, you know, I know people who have literally lost businesses and homes from this. And it's, you know, it's not something that can sort of be chuckled at.
John, thank you for weighing in. I really appreciate it. One of the things John mentioned, Felicia, was how they place many kinds of bets. And one of the things that people do who do this, or people who hear the ads or see the ads, know is that there are many ways to place bets. You can place bets before a game. You can place bets during a game, which must be a whole different kind of temptation, you know, as this event that you're watching is unfolding, something changes in the balance between the two teams, and you go, oh, maybe I'm going to go in again and bet on that. They advertise these parlays. I'm going to play an example of that in a second, where you make multiple bets at the same time, and of course, you're much more likely to lose if you're betting on, like, three teams and they all have to win in order for you to win, then the house really wins a higher percentage of the time, I think. So can you pick up on that point that John was making about the ubiquity of types of bets that people can place now?
Well, there certainly are plentiful. And, you know, one can be watching a game, as you had mentioned, and people are, and the announcer is identifying opportunities to gamble. That can entice people to gamble without question. It's like, oh, let me give that a try. Let me see if I can make something. It might be fun. And that's usually how it starts out when it comes to gambling, when it comes to problem gambling. So there's so many opportunities, and it's constantly in your face. People are constantly being enticed. Whether it be through, you know, what we just spoke of communications during a particular game, or just in general with, you know, with commercials, whether it be on a streaming platform or, you know, regular television or radio networks and streaming networks. So people are just constantly being enticed. There's so many apps that are out there, so many opportunities to gamble, and so much encouragement to do so. It's glamorized. They don't talk to you about the fact that you're going to be there's a possibility that you could develop an addiction to this behavior. to this practice. So the abundance is just unbelievable. And just last year, the Council on Compulsive Gambling of New Jersey, we conducted our own prevalence study. We surveyed a little over 1,000 individuals, and 28% of the respondents of that survey named easy access through gambling apps as a strong influence on their betting-related activities. So, you know, almost 30% said that that influenced them. Well, you couple that with all the encouragement that you hear on television and radio, and, you know, you're bound to, you're much more tempted to place a bet than you would be if you weren't bombarded with all these opportunities and encouragement to play through. And then they offer free bets and lines of credit, and it just makes it all the quote unquote sweeter to the listener.
And people are more apt
to place a bet. Yes. Yeah.
Let's hear another story. Mm-hmm. Hannah in Forest Hills, and I think this is going to take us into the media aspect. Hi, Hannah.
Hi, Brian. First time, long time. I'm ashamed to say this, but I actually was hired as a costume designer for, I think, one or two sports betting commercials. They very consciously make everything very aspirational, very wholesome seeming. A lot of thought is put into a lot of thought is put into the look and aesthetic of everything. And yeah, it's very predatory.
If your job was costume designer for some of these commercials, what kind of clothing were they having people wearing that was supposed to express what to the viewer?
Yeah, so it's supposed to express some of the keywords I was given are like, you know, Manhattan, money, young, like wealthy millennial, athleisure. These are supposed to be people with, you know, comfortable lifestyles, but very cool, very confident in themselves. Wealthy, upper class, but cool. Not necessarily the type of people who may actually be spending their time on these apps. There's also a social aspect. It's always groups of people having fun. The instructions are always, I don't know, aspirational is the favorite keyword.
Yeah. Were you just indicating when you said you kind of threw this in as an aside, but sort of not the kind of people who you would think of or who would be commonly on these apps? You mean it's not showing wealthier people to try to appeal to wealthier people. It's showing wealthier people to try to appeal to non-wealthy people who think they might get wealthy this way?
Correct. I believe so, at least. There's always this kind of undertone when we're in meetings and dealing with this of, you know, we want to make it appear that these wealthy and successful people use these apps so that, quote, you know, everyone else will, you know, also want to use these apps because they aspire to that lifestyle.
To be
I guess.
Like them.
Not necessarily. I don't know that it's because it will make them money, but sort of as, you know, oh, this is a fun leisure activity that these type of people partake in. So maybe you can be part of this group, too, if you use this app.
Hannah, thank you so much. And Felicia Grandin, Executive Director of the Council on Compulsive Gambling. That was such a revealing call, lifting the veil a little bit on the thinking that goes into some of the sportsbook commercials. What were you thinking as you were hearing that call?
Well, actually, I was thinking about reverting back to the prevalence study that the council conducted last year. One of the issues that we've identified recently is, you know, we're going through a very challenging economic time. You know, prices have gone up, people are struggling economically. And one of the questions that we contained in our prevalence study was that people are looking to gambling as a source of income, actually. One in three people in their 20s look to gambling as a source of income, and one in four people in their 30s look to gambling as a source of income.
People actually succeed? I mean, people probably have their theories, like if you bet the favorite all the time, you're going to come out ahead or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So if that percentage of people that you cited are gambling in an attempt to make money, how many are actually making money?
That is really difficult to say. I mean, I really don't. It's difficult to say. I mean, we have information with regards to that you had referred to earlier with regards to the amount of money wagered, but it's difficult to say, you know, how many people have lost, how many people have gained. We only have wager information and revenue figures. So it's challenging. It's very, very challenging. But back to point, back to the last caller's point, people are they're looking to make money. And a lot of this marketing is not focused on wealthy people. It's focused on people that need income, that need that money, which is very concerning. And it's very risky behavior, but the commercials don't make it appear as though it is, you know, and they make it appear as though it's a fun thing.
And again, for listeners just joining us, the reason we're having this conversation today with the NFL championship games coming up Sunday, the Super Bowl a couple of weeks after that, huge betting days in America, is not to look down our noses at betting whatsoever. It's not to make a prohibitionist argument either, but it is to look with clear eyes at the effects of 5 years of legalized online sports betting in New Jersey now, with the Rutgers study coming out that estimates that about 13% of New Jerseyans meet requirements for having a gambling problem, as reported this week in the Asbury Park Press. So let me play part of an ad as an example of some of what we're talking about. Well, actually, before I play the ad, why don't you make your basic argument, which is what you were cited in the Asbury Park Press article emphasizing, and that is that excessive advertising contributes mightily to this problem. Can you talk about how you see the advertise? Because, you know, legal product, they should probably be allowed to advertise. So where does it become too much?
Well, I can tell you that there was an article in Barron's magazine about a year and a half ago, and it spoke about incessant gambling. It didn't speak about incessant gambling advertising, but it spoke about the cost of gambling television ads. And they cited that about $292 million was spent on gambling television ads in 2020. And then 1 year later, the amount of money that was spent on gambling television ads increased to $725 million. That is from $292 million to $725 million. Within 1 year, that amount increased 2.5 times, so that's one aspect of my argument. The other issue is that when we look at the amount of the sports handle, that is the amount of money wagered, it increased. And looking at those same years, in 2020, it was at about $6 billion a year. 1 year later, we were at $10.9 billion a year. So a significant increase in both advertising money spent as well as the amount of sports betting dollars wagered. So you can see a correlation there between those two aspects. You know, and I would like to note that the council, you had mentioned this earlier, the council is neutral on gambling. We're neither for or opposed to gambling, but we are here to help people with a gambling problem, whether it's to help them to prevent having a gambling problem, as well as to help people that are already there. So I just wanted to inform the audience about that.
Right. This isn't about making any kind of moral argument. Let me
put
part of an ad as an example. We grabbed this off the sports radio station WFAN this morning, and nothing against WFAN, nothing against this host, who we're not even going to name because it's not about him. And I know on that station, one of their primary hosts is a recovered or recovering compulsive gambler who always puts out very positive messages about this. And they even gave him a special prime Saturday morning slot to do an anti-problem gambling show. So nothing against them. This is just an example of what's out there everywhere. It's a 60-second spot. We'll pick it up halfway through. So the host had just read 30 seconds of copy promoting the sports book. Listen to the kind of promotion in the copy this begins with, and then the rapid-fire disclaimer that it's hard to absorb near the end.
And if you already have FanDuel, you start building your no-sweat same-game parlay today. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 and over and physically present in New York, 3-plus legs, minimum $1 bet required, refund issues, non-withdrawable free bets expire 7 days after receipt. Max bonus $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Help the gambling problem, 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369.
All right. So there's part of a spot, and I really played that about to draw attention to the disclaimer. Is that required by law?
In New Jersey, it is, yes, and I assume that it probably is in New York as well. That is definitely required by law. Every gambling license is required to provide information on our number is 1-800-GAMBLER, which, by the way, is going to be going national. It's going to be used as a national gambling helpline number. But yes, that is required by law.
And that was a live read, so the human being reading it could only go so fast. But he went as fast as he could, and there are other produced spots. I was really looking for one of these this morning, but I couldn't find one online that I know I've heard, where it speeded up as if a parody, you know, 1-800-GAMBLER, you know, and you can't even take it in, no less write down who to contact if you have a gambling problem. Is there a fix for that?
I think that we need to be on top of that more. Not the council, so to speak, although we do keep an eye on those things. But it's challenging, quite honestly, to keep on top of it because there are so many different betting platforms. It's very challenging to keep on top of that. You know, there are certain requirements with regards to font size. As far as speed of delivery, I don't believe there is a requirement with regards to the speed of verbal delivery, but it's very difficult to keep on top of that given the, you know, the multitude of gambling platforms that are out there and so much advertising, so many different forms of advertising.
Nicholas in Bedford-Stuyvesant, you're on WNYC. Hi, Nicholas.
Good afternoon. Good morning. You know, the question I was raising is why this betting thing becomes kind of interesting when I listen to Bloomberg in the morning and they talk about what's going to happen in the stock market and try to predict. They call about people placing bets, or even these big companies or hedge funds, they place bets every time. And that influences the distinction between winning and losing in the stock market. But they have to depend upon using knowledge that's statistically important. The people who bet sports, particularly we're talking about FanDuel, I haven't done that, but I can't understand why you can't bet that and win regularly. I mean, the casinos and FanDuel and all these betting sites, they only, there's $10 billion out there being spent. They got to have a line that is balanced. So they have money on both sides.
Well,
don't gamble. They just say statistically. So it's
right. Well, they obviously make more money than they pay out. But that's a question, Felicia, that a lot of people would probably have. If people do this on Wall Street, and a lot of people on Wall Street make money because they're really studying these companies before they place the bets, can't people do that if they're really studying the players and the teams?
I suppose people could do that on their own. It's just that information isn't collected and provided to educate the gambler. And people, people, by the way, do develop a gambling problem from day trading. I mean, you know, about 18% of our callers have an issue with day trading. So, you know, gambling kind of crosses over to that. Now, there are regulations. There are state regulations indicating a certain percentage that the house is, you know, is able to keep. But, you know, it's gambling. There aren't any concrete parameters that are available, that especially that a gambling operator is going to provide.
When you said there are parameters about how much the house can keep, how does that work for online sports betting?
Well, I'm not certain as to the specific parameters. I don't have the, you know, I don't have the statute in front of me, but, you know, I'm sure that there are specifics associated with, you know, with the amount that the house is able to keep, a certain percentage. That doesn't mean that, you know, so it fact of the matter is that there isn't, gambling is very different than, although people can develop a gambling problem in purchasing stocks. It's very different than just gambling. It just is. It's a totally different animal. It might be a very similar behavior, but the platform itself is very, very different.
Michelle,
I don't have those.
Numbers. I'll go to the next caller then. Michelle in Freehold, you're on WNYC. Hi, Michelle.
Hi. Can you hear me, Brian?
Yep, we have you.
Thank you so much for doing this segment. And I just wanted to say that, you know, the numbers of people affected in New Jersey is staggering and very upsetting, but it's actually a lot more than that, because gambling addiction, like other addictions, is really a family disease, as they say. And it does affect more than just the gambler. It affects the whole family. It affects their children. It affects their spouses, parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins. All of these people can be directly affected by the financial stress put on the family, the emotional burden and stress. And it's a lot for a lot of people. So the numbers that you cited are staggering, but I feel like it's at least 10 times more people that are directly, seriously affected by gambling addiction in New Jersey.
If you know anybody who's gone through this, a family or whoever, was there a successful way out that you want to talk about as well, or a preventive measure against getting in that deep?
I guess the best thing would be to try to not give them access to money. Don't lend money if you're trying to help them. Money is not going to help. Getting them out of the debt is not going to help it stop. It needs to stop before they can start digging out of that debt, and they need help.
Michelle, thank you. Thank you very much. And I have seen also on TV, and you could tell me, Felicia, if you think that these should be more ubiquitous or more required by the state or anything, that are public service announcements against problem betting. And one of the things consistent with what the caller just said is never borrow money to place a bet.
Well, two issues. One is there are ways to be responsible with gambling. And in the world of problem gambling, it's called responsible gambling practices. And there are many ways to set limits. You know, one of the ways is setting limits, whether it be time or finances. You know, you want to gamble and enjoy yourself, have some fun, set some limits for yourself. But back to your question, could you please repeat your question?
Well, I was just making that observation, really. So let me ask you a different question, which is, if excessive advertising is a core issue for you and your organization, should advertising be restricted in some way by the state of New Jersey, which is where you are, or nationally with respect to legal sports betting online?
Yes. How could I overlook that part of your question? This is primarily what we are seeking to achieve. There needs to be public service announcements, definitely, warning the public that gambling can create an addiction and can be addictive over time. That really needs to be done. It's done with drugs. It's been done with alcohol. It should be done with gambling. Definite public service announcements. With regards to advertising restrictions, definitely. There should definitely be advertising restrictions, much like cigarettes and alcohol. Again, years ago when I was a kid, there were cigarette commercials on television. You don't see any cigarette commercials today. There should be limits on advertising without question. In addition to that, I also believe that there should be a warning label on gambling sites or at brick and mortar casinos, warning people that gambling can become addictive. And these are all things that should be incorporated into our gambling landscape, because without them, problem gambling is just going to continue to increase and increase and increase. And without any governmental support or any restrictions of this nature, it's bound to present a big problem for our country.
One more call. Tim in Freehold, you're on WNYC. Hi, Tim.
Hi. Yeah, I'd like to give a shout out to my neighbor in Freehold, who was on it just a few minutes ago. But I want to say that there's a I've observed a kind of sad social dimension to the gambling situation. For years, I've seen busloads of free buses from our towns to Atlantic City. And, you know, and it's nice to give people that option, but it happens in a town where it very often, there's no senior center. There's you have folks who might otherwise socialize with each other and have, you know, more meaningful lives. And instead, you know, this is just something that they do, which could lead to addiction. And as a professional, I went to a lot of conventions in Atlantic City. And when I had a little time off, I'd walk through the casino floors and I would feel sad, because I would look and say, you know what? There's an awful lot of these people who don't look happy. They actually sort of, I'm trying not to be judgy, but they don't really look like they should be here. You know, so I've observed that over, 40 years of life working and living here in New Jersey.
Tim, thank you for your call. And as we run out of time, Felicia, let's make this the last question, or at least the last topic, and that is, where do the casinos fit into it? We were starting to have this discussion on my team as we were planning this segment, and weren't quite sure whether it's part of the same discussion or not. And of course, in New York right now, where there's a public policy conversation about how many new casinos to locate in the state and where they should go, if so. Is this the same conversation, or is this a different conversation? Because no matter what we may think about Atlantic City or Las Vegas or new casinos opening in New York, you have to affirmatively go there in person. And if that's what somebody wants to do with their leisure time, you know, that's up to them. Not that there isn't problem gambling associated with casinos. There obviously is. But it's the online ease of so many more people being able to do it from wherever they are on their phones. And with these numbers going up so high, number of problem gamblers in New Jersey, as reported in the Asbury Park Press article that triggered this segment, are we talking about the same thing, or are we talking about something at a whole other level that's in its own category when we talk about online sports betting versus casinos?
Well, I believe that it's definitely in its own category by virtue of the fact as to what you had stated, that it's so accessible. You have to go to a casino in order to gamble. You don't have to go anywhere to gamble online. And interestingly enough, when I took a look at our helpline calls, about 33% of our helpline calls are associated with gambling that occurs in a casino. So it's not an abundant, a great amount. Significant enough that gambling takes place in the casinos. But the real concern is the online gambling component, because it's just so accessible. It's just so easy to play and so easy to lose.
You want to give out that phone number that you mentioned before one more time? I guess this is at least for people in New Jersey. So they have it, and you can go real slow, unlike that ad we played.
Absolutely, no problem. Our telephone number, our helpline number, is 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, I believe it's 1-800-HOPE-NY. New York or NY. But if you call 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, we will be able to provide you with information and referral and a listening ear. We have wonderful helpline staff that have a great listening ear, very comforting, compassionate, and they can help to answer your questions about, you know, problem gambling for yourself or for a loved one. They could provide you with information as to how to get help in order to turn your situation around and also to prevent problem gambling. So I encourage you to call us at 1-800-GAMBLER or visit our website at 800gambler.org, and you'll find a wealth of information, and we would be so happy to help you and or your families.
That's great. And I think I have a correction to that New York number. I have it as 877-8-HOPE-NY.
My apologies. So sorry.
877-8-HOPE-NY. And we thank Felicia Grundin, Executive Director of the Council on Compulsive Gambling in New Jersey. Thank you for coming on with us.
Thank you so much for having me. We truly, truly appreciate it.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We turn the page and much more to come.